to look at the scriptures, Acts chapter 17. The verse is 27, but I want to go a little further back than that and go to verse 24 and read 4 through 27, Acts 17. The God who made the world and everything is in it. Now, Paul is on Mars Hill in Athens, and he's speaking to the Greeks, and they have wanted to know which God that he served, and he saw that there was a place, that an altar-like, that had been made there that said to the unknown God. So he is addressing that to the Greeks. And he says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples that is built with hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. For from one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the set times for these men that he created, and the exact places where they should live. And now in verse 27, God did this so that the men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him, though he is not far from any of us. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful thing to have the Holy Spirit of God directing you and showing you the way in which you should go. His preference is not to resort to chasing you down, but he wants to, by his Holy Spirit, lead you in the direction that would be best for you to go. When we don't follow those gentle leadings of God's Word or his Holy Spirit, then we grow insensitive to his presence. Insensitive people wait until times get tough before they really believe that God is dealing with them and talking to them. And then things are hard, and they have to break through that. God desires to use that gentle leading of the Holy Spirit. But if we remain stubborn and we won't give in and we won't be led by him, then he'll use any way that he has to get our attention. And he will get your attention in one way or another. An example of that would be David's rebellious son, Absalom, when he asked Joab to come and help him, and Joab wouldn't even respond. So he sent another messenger and asked him to respond in 2 Samuel chapter 14, verses 29 through 31. And Joab still wouldn't. And finally, Absalom told some of his servants, go set his fields on fire. They're right next to mine. He's got a lot of wheat, a lot of barley. You go and just set his fields on fire. And they did. And he came running. And Joab said, wait a minute, you set my field on fire. Why did you do that? And Absalom said, look, I sent for you twice, and you wouldn't come. So I had to get your attention. That is the way that God sometimes deals with us. He wants our attention. He has something to say for us. He wants us to reach out for that which is real. Too many times we turn to things that are not real. They're ways of the world. There's ways of mankind. And God has already got things set for us that we can follow Him and that we can be blessed. So He wants us to reach out for that real. My wife for many years has worked in banking. And I asked her one time, how do you tell the difference between a real bill and a counterfeit bill? And she said, if you've handled the real enough, when you touch it, you know. It just doesn't feel right. When you look at it, you know, because something just doesn't quite look right. So when you feel it, when you look at it closely, you begin to understand this is counterfeit. This is not real. It's the same way with God. When you've been with God long enough and you make it a practice to talk with Him in prayer, to walk with Him in your daily life, to read His Word and to find out what He's like, then suddenly if something comes along that's not godly, you'll know it. You'll feel it. You'll discern that. The key to identifying a false bill is to spend time, hours and hours, handling the real. The way to know God's voice, the way to know God's leading, is by spending time with Him. And then you won't follow somebody else. You say, well, how do I know that it's God that's talking to me or Jesus that's talking to me? You'll have to learn to trust your spiritual ears. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 4, His sheep follow His voice, follow Him, because He is the good shepherd, because they know His voice. They understand His voice. You see, there's a spiritual truth that we can't judge just by the outward circumstance. Then we have to look a little deeper, and we have to recognize from down underneath, is this God? Is this His voice? We handle God's Word long enough, then we know what the real is, and we can reach out and we can touch it. What about the counterfeit? Most of the world today, our society, our culture, they're reaching for something that's meaningful. They're wanting something that's lasting. And too many are settling for a counterfeit. Because there's many, many voices out there that's trying to get your attention. Have you ever thought that you heard God? Have you ever thought that maybe God told you something, only to find out later that it wasn't God at all, and it turned out all wrong? Until you learn correctly to discern God's voice and to hear His voice, you're bound to make a few mistakes. Yeah, there's going to be times when you miss it, you blow it. It will take a small amount of trial and error, but the Holy Spirit is always there. And He will prompt you, this is real, this is God, this is what you need to do. So we learn to listen for that voice. There's so many voices fighting for your attention. They're wanting you to go this way. Happiness is over here, or joy is over here. Pleasure is in that direction. And they're constantly pulling at you. You have to not pay any attention to those things. They're temporary. They'll only last for a small amount of time. But that inner voice, from way down deep inside that says, follow me. That's the voice you want to learn to listen to. How do you distinguish between God's voice and others? You back it up with the Word. Does the Bible back up what you're hearing? It may have been too much pizza last night that gave you that dream. So lay off the pizza a little bit and match it with the Word. The Bible says to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all of the churches of the saints. In the Old Testament, it was easier, maybe I should say, to move with God, to follow God, to see where God's direction was. When God wanted Israel to go in a certain direction, he would lead through a cloud or a pillar of fire, or he had a priest that he would give direction to. And when the cloud moved, they would move. When the pillar of fire moved, they would move. When the cloud stayed still, they would stay still. You can look in Numbers chapter 9 and see that story. It's a little bit more complex today. The cloud of the Old Testament has moved inside of us. Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. So the way that God speaks today is by his Holy Spirit and through his Word. We must become spirit conscious in order to hear God's voice and receive his direction. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, may God himself, the God of all peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's saying there that we are a spirit and that we're living within a body and we possess a soul that has emotions, that has a will. In the Old Testament, God dealt in temples. It had an outer court and an inner court, and then it had a holy of holies. But under the new covenant, God has people as a temple. And our body is the same as that outer court of the temple of the Old Testament. The soul is our inner court. And then our spirit man, to the depth of our heart, is the Holy of Holies. And now God dwells in a three-room house, a body, soul, and spirit. So when God leads you and God is moving you, God doesn't do it by the mind, because the mind is carnal. He doesn't do it by the flesh, but he uses your spirit. And the Holy Spirit dealing with your spirit begins to move you and nudge you in different directions. And there's a peace that follows that. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 says that he would grant you to be strengthened with might through his spirit in your inner man. So the strength comes from the inner man. And you can be strengthened there. In 1 Peter chapter 3, begins to speak of the hidden person of the heart. Let it be the hidden person of the heart with an incorruptible beauty of gentle and quiet spirit, which is the very precious in the sight of God. So you have this inner person down inside. You have this inner spirit inside of you. It's the eternal spirit, your eternal spirit. And because your inner spirit is born again, it begins to get more finely in tune with God and God's spirit, and more so than your flesh is. Because the flesh is listening to all those other voices and it's easily misled. But that inner man that God has placed there, that hungers for God, it listens for his voice and it tunes in on the wavelength that God is speaking in your heart. You can't make your inner person enjoy sin. It's that part of you that whenever you know that you're doing what you ought not do, that it begins to make you feel ill at ease, or it begins to pull you and say, don't go there, don't do that. It's that part that's down inside of you that sometimes makes you feel guilty and makes you really wish I had not done that. And every one of us have been there, and we've all done that. If we would learn to listen to that inner voice, if we would learn to follow that prompting, then life would be so much easier. If you start to do something wrong, that inner voice will say, hey, what you doing? Don't do that. I don't like that. That's not pleasing. So let's not go there. You see, God has placed some indicators down inside of you, within your spirit, things that will help you tune in to God's voice, those little whispers, that still, quiet voice that speaks down in your heart. Your spirit man, point one. Your spirit man can be stirred. And there's times when there's a stirring inside. And you know that something's happening and something's going on. In Acts, we read in Acts 17, 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. There was that stirring down in Paul, because as he stood in Athens and he looked around, he saw all the statues to these other gods. And there was as many as 500 of them. It wasn't necessarily Paul that was stirred up and provoked. It was his spirit down inside that got provoked. Has God ever stirred you up about something? Maybe a friend you haven't seen in a long time, and suddenly God began to stir that person's name in your heart, in your mind. Sometimes that's the voice of God that's speaking to your spirit, urging you to contact that person. They may really need you at that very moment. And God wants you to speak to them. He can use those stirrings to show you where to go, to what to do, and who to even contact in life. The second thing is that your spirit can be led. You can be led by the Spirit. In Romans, it says in verse 14 of chapter 8, For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Sometimes God gives leadings from down inside. And you just feel like this is the way that I need to go. This is what I need to do. And when your spirit is led by the Holy Spirit, it's that Holy Spirit that's urging you to go in that direction. Let's become spirit conscious so that God can use us to do some great things. Whether it's speaking a word in a proper time, even though we might not be aware of what's going on, God will give us something to say that'll bring solution to the moment. Maybe it's sharing the gospel with somebody that so desperately needs it. Maybe it's giving a kind word and a smile to somebody. I remember several years ago, there was a lady that was in real distress. I didn't notice it right at first, but she wasn't quite as normal. She was working in a business, and I went into that business, and I saw something a little different that was going on, and I said, Can I pray with you for just a moment? And she looked around, and I could tell that she was a little ill at ease, but it was a perfect moment. There was nobody even close. And I said, there's nobody close to us, and I won't make a scene. I'd just like to pray with you for just a moment. And she said, would you please? And I took her hands, and all I said was, God, let your peace that passes all understanding just settle upon her heart, and let her know whatever the situation is, you've got it under control. Thank you, Father. And I stepped back and I said, thank you for letting me do that. And tears were rolling down her cheeks, and she said, my mother just called me from South Korea. She has cancer, and I don't know what to do. And I said, you will. Before this day's over, you'll know exactly what to do. And you'll have real peace about it, because God's going to speak to your heart. And a few days later, I was back in that business, and I saw her, and she said, I'm so glad you came in today. I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm going to take care of my mom. And she said, it all worked out, and I'm so happy. So you can be led at that particular moment. There's been another time when I walked up to somebody and I just felt like they really needed some financial help. So I gave them some money, and it was at a moment when that mother needed something for her child. She needed something for her baby, and she was able to get it because the Holy Spirit spoke. Your spirit can have purpose, real purpose. In Acts chapter 19, verse 21, when these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in his spirit. When he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, Paul purposed not in his mind, not just in the flesh, but in the spirit. And in John chapter 4, verse 24, it says that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The way that we can really connect with the Spirit of God is directly through God, through the Spirit, not through the flesh or some seance or something like that, not necessarily even through our soul, through emotion. The way that we contact is when our spirit, our inner man, begins to move by the Holy Spirit and connect with God. Therefore, if you're going to do what God wants you to do, you're going to have to purpose down in your spirit, not in your mind. So many of us have made resolutions, New Year's resolutions, or along the year we're going to, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to smoke, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. And we're just doing it with our mind, and we're making resolutions in an emotional moment, but we never follow through with it. We're not able to stay firm. When I purpose in the flesh, it kind of falls to the side. When I purpose in my spirit, the Holy Spirit is there urging me and reminding me. There's been many times that people have told me, I'm going to be in church. I need to get back. I'm going to be there. And they never show up. And I see them again, and I say, well, I didn't see you. Did you come? No, this came up, that came up. I couldn't because of this reason or that reason, but I'm going to come. When we purpose in our spirit, it won't be long before we're going to go, because we're going to make sure that we do. I purpose in my spirit to worship God. Then I can worship Him with my whole heart. Even if my body is unwilling, even if I don't feel well, I'm going to worship Him from the very depth of my being. If I purpose I'm going to be in church, then my spirit's going to get me out of bed on Sunday morning or whenever it is, and it's going to focus my attention and my heart on God, and I'm going to get to church. I'm going to make sure I do. When we purpose in the Spirit that we're going to do it, there's usually a time of divine ministry. But before that, there's a divine misery. Pay attention. I said it properly. When we purpose in our spirit, there's a time of divine ministry. But before that ministry comes, there's a time of divine misery before a change will ever come. I remember feeling an urgency about doing a particular thing, a certain thing, and I began to receive that stirring in my spirit that God was saying, now is that time. Let's do now. People were telling me, you can't do this. This can't happen. I purposed in my spirit, and with God, all things are possible. And I kept telling myself that. And my spirit connected with the Spirit of God. And even though there was obstacles, and even though it was difficult, I continued on. And I saw victory. And it was a tremendous victory. And that which I had purposed, that which I had been stirred for, that which God said, now is the time, it turned out even better than I thought it would or hoped that it would. You must purpose in your spirit to obey God's voice. And then when you do that, you will fulfill that which He has called you to do, or asked you to do, or made you for. Number four, you can be bound in your spirit. In Acts chapter 20, verse 22, it says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what's going to happen to me there." Paul's spirit was bound to Jerusalem. There was the connection there. He knew that he had to go, but he didn't know why. There's times when you know you have to do something, but you're not sure why. But there's that stirring down inside. There's that compelling, that nudging, that pressure of the Holy Spirit. Paul didn't know if he was going to be welcomed or rejected. That didn't matter to him. All he knew was he had to go. When God wants to put you somewhere and have you doing something, He will bind your spirit to that place or that thing. If He wants you to minister to young people, that will become a burning down inside of you. If He wants you to sing, or if He wants you to do whatever, you might not know how it's going to turn out. But there's that binding that pulls you in that direction. I am bound to this church. I am bound by the Spirit to my wife. When God binds your spirit, it's difficult for you to walk away from it. Tremendously difficult when your spirit is tied to something. So you can't let your mind or your emotions supersede what the Spirit is binding you to. When your spirit is tied there, those emotions come up and it brings confusion. Don't let your mind or your emotions cause you to walk away from something that God has asked you to do. Stay the course. Don't quit right in the middle of the stream. Don't give up. Because if you give up and walk away, you might miss the great, mighty plan of God that would bring such fulfillment, such peace, such joy into your life. I'm firmly convinced that God plants people within churches, various churches, where there's a need. Because we always know that we're in the center of God's will when we're in the place that we're needed the most. So God will put somebody in that place because they're needed there. He needs them there. Don't leave that church until the Spirit of God says you can go. Because you're bound to that place. Places matter with God. God created places before He created people. He created everything else, and then He created people to take care of it. God specifically created the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve. And he knew that that's where he was going to put man. And he placed him there. Many people have location frustration. They're in the wrong place. And they will never be totally happy there. Until you're in the place where God needs you the most, you're never going to be totally happy and at ease and at peace. Let God bind you by your spirit to the right place, to the right people, to the right plan for your life. And then lastly, your spirit can give you peace about going in the right direction. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 says, "When I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my soul." Just because the door swings open wide doesn't mean you're supposed to walk through it at that moment and just settle down there. This is where you need the Holy Spirit to guide you and to direct you. Do you realize that if Paul had continued to go into that direction that he was going toward Asia, he might have never gone to Macedonia and then on to Rome, and he would have missed the greatest calling of his life? Because when he touched Rome, he began to touch all of Europe and the United States and the Western world for the rest of time. And today the United States is where it is because Paul went to Rome. The door was wide open, but Paul said, "I had no rest in my spirit." Sometimes determining God's will is very simple. Sometimes you don't have rest in your soul, in your spirit. And that's hold off. A lack of divine rest in your spirit is usually God's way of saying, "Wait, not yet, not now, no." One of those things that God is saying. If you don't have rest in your spirit about a relationship or a major decision, some place where you're thinking about and a decision that you're about to make, if you don't have rest, then I encourage you, take some time. Pray about it. Let God speak about that decision. Isaiah 28:16 says, "Whoever believes will not act hastily. I've learned one thing, to wait on God, because God is always right. And he'll always speak true. And if I follow his urgings, God will never mislead me." God has promised to give wisdom to his children if they will seek him. So if there's something you're trying to decide about, if there's something in your heart's just not quite at peace, maybe we need to go to God about that. His desire is for you to hear him, hear his voice, and to reach for him with all of your heart. Let's pray together. Father, I believe that there's some that are trying to make a decision. They're trying to understand. They're trying to follow. There's just not peace. Instead of quickly reaching for the counterfeit, that which will please the flesh, let your people wait upon the Lord and see His goodness. Let them pray about it and lay it on your altar before you. God, I'm asking that you would give peace, that you would give joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.